Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And today, I've got a good old-fashioned question from a mom. In fact, this question was so good, it made me realize I should probably be asking for questions more frequently. So I'll probably go on social media something sometime soon and ask for questions. Because man, whenever I ask for questions, I get some good ones. And since I haven't done a public speaking event in the past month or so, where I usually get my questions from, and I've kind of ran through all the questions, because most questions I get from public speaking events, I get like 10 different questions that are just different versions of the same question. But this question was different. And so I'm going to jump into this question, and I've answered two other questions in the years of the podcast that are kind of a similar type of a question. And I used to call those Hollywood in the home. So after you listen to this, if you want to hear my responses and answers to similar questions like this, there's a Hollywood Home episode earlier in the podcast. Maybe my producer can pull it up so I can tell you before I get done with this episode what exact number episode it is. And then we did a 2.0 version of it. So let's jump into it with this question, though. So this mom sends this in. She says, I got a question about how do I avoid social... Let me set that over again. I got a question, according to this mom, she says, I got a question about...
Number 208.
Okay. Episode 208 is the 2.0 version. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hollywood in the Home, episode 208. Go check it out.
Of Light the Fight.
Of Light the Fight, by the way.
And then number 84 is the first one.
Number 84 of Light the Fight. As you guys know, this used to be called Light the Fight. We changed to OG Therapy. So 84 is the first podcast about this. 208 is the second, and then
same feed, so they can just go search it.
Okay, it's on the same feed, so you can go search it. So sorry about that interruption. Let's get back to the mom question. So the mom's question goes as follows. How do I avoid social media from taking over my home? I guess what I'm trying to say, but it's just embarrassing. How do I get my family to spend better quality time when I've been the main reason why we have not been present because I was running an online business for the past 7 years? And I felt like the need, or I felt the need to document all my family's activities to connect with my customers on a more personal level and promote my brand. My kids hated always having to record and take pictures during our family time. Now many of my kids are also attempting to build an online persona, and it worries me that building an online presence is going to make it so that they are not present. Clever. I like it when anyone can make something rhyme. I realize now I like this language even better. I realize now I was prostituting my family for my career, and in doing so, I feel like we are struggling to have real conversations and meaningful moments while hanging out as a family. And to be honest, I'm embarrassed about it. I'm trying to change the culture of my home. How do I undo the damage I have done? Let me give you, if this woman was here, I'd give her a free pair of shoes, a gift card, or something like that. In fact, maybe I'll reach out to her and give her something along those lines. I just love it when someone's just being so real. Like, she's a real one. She's obviously going through some regret. She's obviously going through guilt, wants to make up for it. But that's hard to do when you know, she admittedly was the beginning of the problem, or she's the main problem. She didn't say her husband was making her promote her business by using her and her family. And this is what they call in athletics, NIL, name, image, and likeness. She's trying to use her name, her image, and her likeness to sell her brand. I get it. It makes sense. Tons of people do it online. To what expense, though? So I'm going to share with you guys three things that you can do to help you. But I'm not going to tell you exactly what to say or what to do. I've been thinking about some of the podcasts lately that I was doing where I was giving step-by-step of what you guys should do. And I think that's great. In fact, I think most people listening to the podcast, they like it when I tell them what to do. But for many years of the podcast, it was more work. You had to listen to my podcast. You had to take notes. I was rambling things off so fast and giving so much information. It was kind of would make your head spin. So you had to go back and listen to it multiple times to really grasp it and understand it. That actually is the better way to learn, because you're really searching and looking for the information. So in the recent episodes where I was giving step-by-steps, I thought the one thing that's missing is I should probably tell you guys that I can give you the steps, but connection creates the best innovation. So in these steps I'm going to give you right now, they're not really like something specific to do, but it's how to start it so that you can get the information you're looking for. These steps are going to help you elicit the information, get the information out of your loved ones to come up with a better plan or solution as a whole family. You parents that are listening to this know that if you come up with the solution, you come up with the action plan, you just tell your kids, here's what we're doing. I don't know if you don't know if you're going to get any buy-in on it. Maybe one kid will be like, okay, great. And the other kids are giving you like the, I don't know, what's mom trying to do? Last month, mom said, we're going to do a family diet to take out some sort of product in the food that is unhealthy for us. And so mom's trying to instill all these new policies and procedures in the family business. And us kids are like, wait, we didn't really want to do this. We like to eat our Twinkies with the red dye and all that crap in it. So it's kind of one of those situations where moms and parents will sometimes try to force initiative. They get excited. They get passionate. Maybe they hear a podcast and they go to their kids, say, okay, from now on, this is what we're going to do. And they're so excited and they're so pumped up that they have all this energy and motivation. And then they tell the kids what to do. The kids give them pushback. They get in an argument. They get in a fight. They go to their separate rooms and corners. Nothing gets done. There's never agreement. There's not a good discussion. And if there's not a good discussion, then you're not going to have really any connection. If there's not a lot of connection, then you're not going to come up with better innovative thoughts, ideas, approaches, so on and so forth. So just want to let you guys know, when I give you these three, they're very basic, they're very simple, but they're open-ended, and it's for you to get the information from your kids and in real time figure out what would be some good options, what would be some good ideas. But before I get into these three things, let me share with you some of my concern and why I'm so happy that this mom was able to just admit this. Now, granted, I'm not telling you guys who she is. However, I did go to her social media, and I could tell her social media has changed because she did not look anymore. The past stuff, she was definitely in the attention game. And the stuff right now, it just has a feeling like she's not trying to sell anything. It just seems more genuine and organic and natural. So my concern for all you parents out there that have kids, or maybe you're the person that is really focused on building an online presence and persona. And then once you got one, if you're one of the few people that are lucky enough to get a good following, now you got to deal with the pressure and the stress that comes with keeping up the following to make sure that you're providing content information that's good enough for them to choose to look at yours with all the other options they have out there. Social media, when you're scrolling through social media, like an app like Instagram, it's almost like you're at a shopping mall for your attention. You're just shopping and looking for something. Oh, that captures my attention. And then you give it your attention. Behind the scenes, you may not realize, or even if you knew this, you may not think of it at the moment, that behind the scenes, when you're giving them your attention, you're giving them information about you, about what makes you tick, what your interests are. Even if you don't buy the product, even if you don't really listen to it that much, they've captured your attention. My big concern about the attention economy, is what they call it in Silicon Valley, is they've gotten really good at capturing our attention. So if they're really good at capturing our attention, then we're trying to do the same thing AI is doing. So artificial intelligence, just be clear for these guys listening to the podcast that may not be too familiar with this, is when you are interfacing with the social media app and platform, there's this advanced sophisticated AI on the back end of it that's keeping close monitor of how long you look at things, what's your mood, what things you clicked, what things you've liked, what things you've watched, how long do you watch it for? And they take and gather all that information. And, you know, a lot of you guys may know this. There is some people that will share that information for money. There's also a lot of people that say that they don't really do that as much, is they take your habits, whatever, and then they go to companies and say, hey, we can guarantee, we can give you certainty that based upon our users, we know them so well, we can help you craft and curate your podcast, your product that you're selling, whatever it is that you're doing, we can do a really good job of making it so it's so desirable that people have to click at it, they have to look at it. Well, that's what AI is doing. They're gathering all this data and information about us. Now, if you are online, if you're trying to become an influencer, you're trying to move a product, you're doing the same thing that the artificial intelligence is doing. You're trying to understand, what are my consumers? What are the people I'm trying to attract? What do they want? What do they need? And in that whole entire process, you think that you're building a brand. You think that you're going to learn something about your people to be able to sell more product, to make money, to improve your livelihood. And that sounds like a good, comfortable, safe business model. But that's not all that's happening. It's true. All those things just happening. You're right. You think that those things are happening, and you are actually right. They are happening. But something else is also happening simultaneously. What also is happening simultaneously is you are no longer becoming you, or you're no longer you. Slowly, one step at a time, you become so invested in creating a persona online that matches the wants and the needs of the people you're trying to attract or the people you've already captured, that you could not possibly post or share something that is out of character, out of line, or just not in that lane of the persona that you created. I've helped a lot of people online get over these types of issues. It's not a specific like online addiction issue, because the people I talk to, they argue over and over again that they're not addicted online. They just do it for work. Their screen time may look like they're addicted. All these other things, they may look like they're addicted, but they try to convince me that they're not addicted. So I go, fine, you're not addicted, if that's what you want to hear. But here's what's happening. You're becoming someone who you were never to begin with. You are making the mistake that the persona that you're creating is one that you have control over, and it's your choice what you choose to post. It's not your choice. You are looking at everybody around you, what's popular, what's trending. You're looking at your algorithms. You're looking at the numbers, what is the things that got most engagement from your posts. And then you're taking that data information. You're saying, how could I curate and how could I cultivate things so that it's close enough to the things that other people are doing that it gets success? You do that a little bit each day, a little bit each week, months, years. Before you know it, you have two entire separate personalities. One is one you created. One is one who is the one who you are. And if you're not content and happy with the one that you are, the one that you created devours and eats your real sense of self. A lot of psychologists out there and lots of podcasts talk about there is more basement narcissist than has ever been recorded before. What I mean by basement narcissist is they're narcissistic in the sense that they're not doing anything to deserve the accolades, the gratitude, which, by the way, is one of the core foundations of narcissism. I want all the attention. I want all the accolades. I want all the praise, but I don't want to do any of the work. I just want it. So basement narcissist is kind of what I coined it. I think other psychologists and the people out there call it something different. They're doing it from a laptop. They're doing it from a cell phone. They're building this persona that's confident, that's secure, that's innovative, that's creative. And maybe that is a lot of who you are, but it's so focused on the numbers of what the statistics are telling you what people want that it's not genuine. Someone's got to win and someone's got to lose. Your true sense of self will have to bend the knee and submit to the persona, or the persona is going to have to realize that your true sense of self is being hurt mentally, emotionally. You're losing grasp on reality. You're slowly becoming anxious, nervous, worried that you will not be able to maintain this persona, because you're trying to get people to like you off of a persona that you created. So in and of itself, by its purest definition, that is being an imposter. I don't know the exact solution for everybody, but I can tell you that imposter syndrome is very real. So here's a few steps I'm going to give to you. I'm going to leave it with you to come up with your own great ideas after you give you these steps. Step number one, I call this confession session. Sit down and admit to your family and your kids what you've done, how things have gotten out of hand. If you own an online business like this woman, admit to them what exactly happened to you by trying to create this online persona. If your kids are younger, they don't know what persona means. Google the word, think of like a good way to explain it to them so it's simple and understanding. But you have to confess to them and admit to them that you're wrong, that you should not have done this, and you've noticed some key ways that it's influenced your personality, your mood, all those different types of things. And then after you do that, don't quickly say, but I did it for business, and the only reason why I did it is for you guys because I love you guys. Knock it with all that nonsense. A true, genuine apology, a sincere apology is, my bad. Obviously, I didn't know this was going to happen. I didn't mean to do this. I didn't mean to get carried away, but I got lost in the sauce, and now I realize it's been hurting me and affecting me in all these ways, and so I need to make a change. That's step one. Getting their attention is what you're doing in step one. Your kids and your family members, your spouses, they're going to be like, damn, okay, shoot, didn't expect that coming. I'm listening. Step two, ask your kids. Now, what I want you to ask your kids, ask them for their thoughts. So I just label these things. First one, I label confession session. Second one, ask your kids. And the third one's called throw a dog a bone. So when ask your kids, I simply want you to ask them for their thoughts and their input and what they've noticed. And if they go, oh, I don't know, say, no, I'm seriously, have you noticed that I was on my phone a lot? Because I can show you my history, my screen time for the past year. Did it look like I was stressed all the time? You know, do you see where I'm coming from? Get them to give you feedback and to validate everything that you've just said. Assuming your kids are older than 3 or 4 years old, you're going to get some feedback from them. Anytime you as a parent confess something and you don't try to justify it really quickly, but instead you confess it, let it hang out there and just be like, hey, this is the way it is. And then you ask them for feedback to double down and tell you all the experiences they've had, maybe their frustrations, whatever it may be. That's the ask them part. Once they start to share with you all these things that they've seen, maybe they're worried about, or maybe you'll have kids say like, oh, you know, I'm kind of nervous or scared to tell you. I don't want you to be mad at me. Get them to open up and share their thoughts and feelings. What you're doing, and they don't even realize at the moment, it's a psychological trick. By you confessing something to them, you take yourself out of that authoritarian power position, and you make yourself just like a regular person, someone that they can relate to. Then after you make yourself a regular person, not just this larger-than-life parent, right after that happens, then you ask them for feedback to kind of throw shade on you, to take shots at you, to give you criticism. Now, granted, if they start to be really mean, you can say, hey, hold on a second. Like, I'd appreciate you giving some criticism, not like hurt my feelings. Like, I'm trying to be honest and open with you guys here. So I doubt that's going to happen a lot. But in case you get a couple of kids that throw some harsh criticism at you, just, you know, use that technique to, you know, to kind of calm it down. So you're letting them know and say, hey, I'm confessing these things to you. I'm not denying them. Like, I want to know your feedback, but just give me a feedback in a way that's like could be helpful instead of hurt me. Third one, throw a dog a bone. When you let them know that you'd like their help with this and you ask them for ideas, when you're asking your family for ideas, what I want you to do is I want you to ask them for ideas about how you guys could make things different. How when you are at dinner, when you are about doing things, is there something that maybe you guys could do different so that, yeah, online is an important part of our life, but we don't want it to capture all the important times and moments of our life. Now, this mom, I just imagine when I was reading this, I was imagining that she was like, man, this is hurting my relationships with my kids. This is something that, like, I don't want this to happen. I imagine this mom was looking at her online business thinking, I'm not even making that much money. You know, a lot of people are doing something similar. And, you know, I've spent so much time at curating this profile, this persona. And all along that time, I wasn't just missing out on time with my kids. I was asking my kids to also help me with their smiles and their pictures because everybody likes pictures of cute families that seem happy together. When you're asking them about the throw a dog a bone part, that's just like, hey guys, like I can't do this on my own. So if you're a parent out there that's had to, you know, like I said, had to get your family to do anything differently, you don't want to tell them, here's the plan, here's what we're going to do. You want them to be involved and be a part of the plan. So that's why you got to confess the first part, thank them and ask them for more critique and criticism in the second part. Then the third part, you got to invite them to help you come up with an action plan. Now, when they come up with ideas for an action plan, you don't want to shoot everything down, even if it's not something that would work. You want to consider everything. You want to share some of your own ideas. And at the end of the conversation, you want to come up with at least 2 to 3 things that your family is going to actively work on that everybody low-key agrees on, because even though some of your kids may be like, oh, I guess we could do that, if they agree to it and you get them to agree to it in this conversation, later on the week when, let's say, you go out to dinner, and instead of saying, okay, nobody's on their cell phones at dinner because we're going to have a great dinner time and nobody's going to be on their cell phones. If you've had this conversation, you can then go back to them before you go to dinner and say, hey, guys, I know this may not be what you guys want to hear while we're at dinner, but remember last week when I told you I've been really struggling? Because every time we go out to dinner, I just want to video record it. I want to make a reel. I want to find a funny moment in my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh, this would be a funny moment. And instead of just capturing the funny moment, you're thinking about how can you curate it to turn into content and how that content might go viral. Because everyone knows that if you do just the right thing at the right time and say a funny caption, it could go viral. But I'm here to tell you guys, viral content has less value today than it's ever had before. And the reason why viral content has less value than it's ever had before is because millions of things have gone viral now and they're forgotten pretty quickly. So you guys, that's my advice for you guys today. This is something that I'm very proud, like I said, of this mom for posting, or not posting, but for asking me this question. I invite all you guys, if you want me to answer a question about any type of relationship, obviously, you know, the parent-child relationship, but coworker relationship, you know, spouse-partner relationship, I can answer those questions too because those are all in my lane. Don't ask me about economics, finances, politics, religion, any of those type of things because I is not smart and I are not intelligent when it comes to all those topics. But when it comes to relationships, family, friends, business relationships, those types of things, I got you. So as always, you guys, you can follow us at OG.therapy on Instagram. You can follow us at, or you can follow me at David_KOZLOWSKI_YouTube. We're posting more content on there. You guys will see in a short little while, you're probably going to see a lot more content from us. Just to let you guys know, I practice what I preach. I'm having someone as a job do this content for me because I don't want to build an online persona. I don't want to take the precious time away from the moments I have with my family. If I video record something, if I take pictures, I want to keep that for myself. I'm not saying you can't post things. I'm just saying be careful that you're not taking pictures and recording things, always thinking, ooh, this could be a good reel. This could be a good moment. This could go viral. Try to focus more on, is this going to help me connect with my family? And if it helps you connect with your family, then that is the approach I want you to take. And that means if you are going to have your kids sit around the dinner table without any phones, you want to tell them ahead of time, let's put down the phones, but you want to get them to buy into it. Just say, hey, remember we had that talk? It really helped me out a lot if we could have the phones down. If they say the whole dinner, say, tell you what, let's just give 20 minutes, set a timer. Because some of your kids, some of the people in your family, they may be low-key addicted to their phones. So 20 minutes to them may feel like 2 hours. Now over a couple family, you know, dinners, a couple times going out, maybe you can increase that time. I will let you go to YouTube. I'll let you go to other places to find what are things that you could do to have family time outside of the home or while you're in the home. I'm just going to help you focus on how to have the conversation to set it up so the family time goes well. Instead of being fighting with your kids, you'll actually be spending time with your kids. Until next time, you guys, just remember, whenever you're down on your knees thinking, please, Lord, please, Buddha, baby Jesus, Allah, what do? My kids are driving me crazy. All you got to do is just press play and listen to your OGs. Until next time, be cool.
Incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.